Up next is our NOAA framework to narrow scope of NIMS management science. I think we all know it under a different name as the risk value matrix, and I will kick it over to Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I am going to provide an update. As the chair said, it is officially called the Framework to Narrow Scope of NIMS Management and Science. Next slide, please. I gave a brief overview of this topic at our January council meeting, but we've subsequently had a lot more activity and some more information about it, so I wanted to provide an update of where we are now, where we may be going regionally, and some discussions that will be coming up at our May CCC meeting. So the overall goal of the framework was to basically reduce the amount of stocks that are currently managed. So the baseline assumptions that NOAA presented around this topic were that continuing to manage 500 plus stocks and complexes currently in national FMPs really wasn't feasible, with a recognition that reducing the number of stocks managed would create impacts and changes to how NIMS manages fisheries. These impacts could affect NOAA staff, councils, the fishing industry, and communities. There was a goal to balance national consistency and interoperability with regional flexibility while maintaining accountability. There is a creation and application of this regional risk value matrices, which the chair referenced, and the idea to have these be co-developed with science centers, regional offices, and councils. Next slide. So at the national level, what was presented for councils to consider working within their regional partners to complete this risk value matrix, and the value categories would consider commercial, recreational, and social value. Risk categories would consider stock status, susceptibility to environmental phenomenon, impacts on ecosystems, and ultimately the effectiveness of management, with the goal being to rank stocks across this matrix from low risk, low value to high risk, high value, and kind of a range of where stocks could fall within that overall spectrum. Next slide. NOAA presented 9 steps for completing this process. I won't go through the details of all of these 9 steps, except to say that number 2, the regional working groups, is where we are now. There was originally a deadline set for April 3rd to complete this activity. There was a lot of feedback from council executive directors to NOAA that this probably was not feasible. So right now, that deadline has been extended out to June 30th. Next slide. So for the regional risk value matrix process, we have formed a working group. The NRCC had an initial discussion about this in January and decided that we would form a group with representation from all the NRCC partners. You can see the list of people who are on this working group from both councils, the commission, the regional office, and the science center. People were selected to consider expertise and representation across the risk and value categories. So we had some discussion about maintaining this group as the assessment working group, which is part of our NRCC process. But we recognize that some of the risk and value categories related to socioeconomics and environmental impacts may be outside of that just specific stock assessment expertise. The working group has convened some meetings, developed a work plan, and we're working towards completing the matrix. March, we had a couple of meetings, and we're working now to meet that deadline of June 30th. That's our current deadline. I'll get to a little bit more of maybe changes in deadlines at the end of this presentation. Next slide. So as I mentioned, we had 2 meetings, March 4th and 25th. We defined the scope, and our scope within this activity is to determine priority level of all stocks to inform management priorities. So that's all stocks managed by New England, Mid-Atlantic councils, and the commission. We're trying to leverage previous NRCC approaches to prioritize stock assessments and consider outputs from the methodology that was developed by NOAA headquarters for this activity. We've had some discussion about the process for recharacterizing or removing stocks under legal mandates, recognizing that there are some legal hurdles built into Magnuson. And we've had some discussions about ownership of the final product and trying to understand what our regional effort means at the national level without kind of some specific approvals at this point. We've developed a work plan. It's fairly high-level efforts to populate the risk value matrix and compare to the expectations and objectives, and we are hoping to complete the draft by the end of June. Next slide. So we've developed a stepwise approach, which has evolved a bit in our couple of meetings that we've had, both considering qualitative and quantitative information. Step one was considering our current investment levels. So each organization looked at the list of stocks for all of the managed stocks in the greater Atlantic region, which is quite a long list. And we all evaluated how much investment by organization we have. So ranging from none, zero, small, moderate, and high. Obviously for New England managed stocks, the New England Council investment level was moderate to high for almost all of them. For some of the other commission and mid-Atlantic stocks, our investment level could be none to small, but obviously there's overlaps in what we manage. And so some of our investment levels were high for stocks that are not New England Council managed and vice versa. This was really a qualitative assessment, thinking investment of time, resources, staffing, that's the investment that we're talking about. This was completed in late March. So step two, we'll consider the risk value considerations by looking at outcomes from the previous NRCC stock assessment prioritization process. This was completed in 2017 and 18. And we may need to update some of those metrics with new information if it's available. Next slide. So this is what those prioritization metrics included. This is a subsample of the overall list to give just the council kind of a flavor of what we'll be looking at. So some of those factors were management needs, fishery importance, stock status and trend, ecosystem importance, assessment information, and stock biology. We felt that these really did kind of overlap pretty well with the risk and value categories that were identified at the national level. And then we'll be looking at what the outcomes from the previous activity in 2017-18 of how we prioritize stock assessment schedules. These were the metrics that were used, and we came up with frequency of assessments needed, prioritization of stocks for management needs, but also based on biology, ecosystem importance. So we're going to try to leverage that information to consider where stocks might fit in the risk value matrix. Once we try to place them into the matrix, we'll be looking at that investment, the various metrics, and then we're going to iterate to make sure that, where these would fall actually match with what our expectations would be. And we would be able to bring this back to the council and get some regional perspectives. We'd also be able to compare this with outputs that are in development by NOAA. Next slide. So this has been, I guess I'll say, a fairly controversial topic amongst council executive directors since it was presented in January. The CCC wrote a letter to NOAA in early February requesting additional information about the objectives, how this really was developed, some concerns about lack of transparency, and we're still waiting a response to that. There has been some media coverage and press releases from other council regions. There are links there that you could read. Generally, the feedback has been that this is a very challenging process and kind of fraught with some controversial topics, trying to measure socioeconomic value and risk, specifically in the Western Pacific region, where traditional cultural usage may not align well with those risk value categories for the matrix. Next slide. So as next steps, the executive directors did have a meeting in early April. We had some more high-level questions about the objectives and applications. We'll have a discussion today, and really what I'm hoping we can talk about a little bit is what management options might we consider as a council based on the outputs of the risk value matrix. So low risk, low value might help inform us of moving towards ecosystem component options or removal from fishery management plans. But some of those low high combinations and the level of investment and management objectives, and really in the context of our new risk policy and the new holistic strategic plan that we're developing, what might we want to do with some of those low-high combinations? I think the easier answers would be around low-low and high-high, but those middle combinations is where we could try to be more creative in moving forward with our management. And this will be on the CCC agenda in May for a more intense discussion with headquarters and trying to request some of the feedback that we had put in our CCC letter. And before I stop, that's all I had going into today. And then this morning, received an email, just perfect timing, that there may be some changes from the NOAA level on moving forward with this. So at this point, we understand that there may be a shift in the deadline, so providing more time, and so not the end of June. There may be some shift in the way that NOAA wants to approach the overall topic. For now, what I would suggest is that we continue on with the activity. I've spoken with our regional partners from the regional office and science center that we see some value in doing this regionally, even if it doesn't plug into a national priority setting process, specifically around supporting those ecosystem component options, which we've been discussing as a council for a couple of years. We have the IRA initiative moving forward on this. We think this could be a useful tool to help making a case for moving forward with ecosystem component species. And also as a council to, you know, recognize where our level of investment could be going moving forward. And, you know, again, those low-high combinations with our risk policy our risk policy and our holistic strategic plan and priority setting process, this actually could be a really useful tool for council understanding which stocks, where we want to make those investments. So I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you for that, Dr. O'Keefe. Any questions on the presentation? Comments? Ms. Ware.
Thanks. A question and then maybe question/comment. So I guess I'm still not totally clear on how the council will interact with, once we get species in the four quadrants, what is our role in this? Are we being asked to potentially approve this via a motion? Is there a place for our input? That part I'm not clear on yet.
Thanks. That's a great question. And I do not have a great answer today. I think that's a lot of what the executive directors have been asking at this high level. We're hoping that we have this discussion with NOAA at the CCC meeting. For our council, I think I would suggest that we continue doing the activity with the working group members that I showed, and we produce something that we keep the council informed of, and that the council doesn't need to approve it or endorse it. Right now, I sort of view this is NOAA's framework around NIMS management and science. If it turns out that the activity is not continued at the national level, then I think that's where we could continue our regional process and take more ownership of our regional outputs. I think we can do that either way, where I think your question, Megan, is around what is the council's interaction with this national level? How does our input feed into this national level matrix? And I that's where I don't have a clear answer for you yet.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I get that it may be a NOAA product, but I think we will be asked to respond in terms of our priority setting potentially in some way. So it's hard to like take ownership or be collaborative in that way when there's no opportunity for input. So I could see that as a potential red flag. And then kind of, I guess, a comment in the level of investment. I didn't see state agency investment as a factor, and I get that this is about federal resources, but there are some stocks or species that states put a lot of investment into. Herring, port sampling, Maine does. That's a significant investment on behalf of the state. Halibut, everyone knows I love halibut. That's a huge admin burden that Maine takes on to try and have that fishery. And if there are... if those stocks that states are putting high investment level in are not kind of matched at the federal level, I think it degrades what the states have done or are doing. So I don't know if that's a way to consider the low high scenarios as that is like another factor, but I would just hate to see some of these stocks that, again, the states have really invested in, those efforts be less meaningful under this scheme.
Thanks for that comment. I think it's really helpful. we're purposefully including the commission in this, even though it's not, you know, that wasn't tasking from NOAA, but for partly for those exact reasons. On our last call, we did have a little bit of a discussion around possible unintended consequences of removing things from federal plans where there could be an extra burden that lands on the states. We've heard some of that feedback from the Pacific region already. So thanks for the comment. It's certainly something that we can make sure we include.
Ms. Braun.
Thank you. I've got a question and then a concern. And my first question is maybe not so important based on the email that you got this morning, but I'm still going to ask it. I want to make sure I understand where this is coming from. So this is coming from Silver Spring, you know, NOAA headquarters is saying, we can't do all this. So we want a matrix to be set up, and then each council is going to use that matrix. Is the matrix being created by the council coordinating committee, or who's creating that matrix?
So right now we're creating the matrix through that regional working group. Mm-hmm. NOAA has also developed some methodology to complete the matrix for each region on their own. They have not done that for our region yet. There was a pilot that was conducted for the West Coast, the Pacific region, and results haven't been shared publicly yet. There was some concern from the Pacific Council and the Regional Office and Science Center that maybe the national output wouldn't have matched what their output would have been. So we are seeing that there's, you know, some challenges with this and some questions around it and lack of clarity around exactly what the headquarter methods are compared to what these regional efforts and what our methods are going to look like. We've been pretty clear in our region that despite what headquarters might be doing, we're going to continue to move forward with the methods that we think are most appropriate for the greater Atlantic region. Leveraging methods that we've used in the past through the NRCC. So things we know have worked and that we've applied and we're comfortable with, we're going to try to adapt towards this process.
Okay. I'm still hazy, but I guess that's where everybody is. So I guess I'll just express one of my concerns was fisheries importance is listed as a matrix. And to me, like, there's the matrix and then it's commercial fisheries importance and recreational fisheries importance. Well, fisheries importance is not a matrix to me. Like, a metric would be like miles per gallon. That's just a big area, and who's going to be the one to decide what's important? I mean, I'd love for it to be me, but yeah.
Thanks. And just to clarify, maybe I wasn't really clear. The slide today was really just a sampling of what those factors are and what those metrics had been identified through that 2017-18 NRCC process to prioritize stock assessments. We recognize that there's more to this activity than just stock assessment frequency and scheduling, that there's a lot more around socioeconomic impacts, and that fishery importance is kind of a different factor when you think about dropping a stock from an FMP compared to scheduling it for stock assessment. So we're aware of that. We're just trying to not like reinvent the wheel. If we have information, we have a process, we're trying to leverage that and see how far we can get with that and what else we would need to do.
My last concern, I can't not say that, is I'm concerned about similar to the lines that Megan was going on. There are stocks that are extraordinarily important to small parts. You know, halibut is really important to Down East Maine, but if you look at the big picture, it's going to not get many, you know, post-it notes stuck up on it. Northern Gulf of Maine scallops, really important to the guys that I represent, but overall, it's a small part of the fishery. So I just worry about how that's going to be considered, but a statement, not a question.
Thank you. And you know, that's the part of this where we will complete this, we'll look at it, and then the iteration would be, if that just really doesn't make sense, we would not move forward with it. I think where we anticipate things like scallops to be in that high, and things like ocean pout maybe in the low. So I think we already have a general idea of where these things should fall within that spectrum. But you know, just our gut feelings about it doesn't necessarily make a case to call it an ecosystem component species. And so this activity could really help with at least, you know, immediate actions around that low quadrant that could help alleviate some of our regulatory burdens. It's those middle pieces, those high, low, high, where I think there would be some more room for creativity.
I would just say, Tog, you get my vote for doing it all for us. So, hey, if you want to do it nationwide, have at it. Next up, Ms. Griffin.
Thank you. And so perfect. Our executive director just said, you know, that middle category, the low-high combinations are kind of the question mark right now. So when I think of I guess I'm wondering what the regional working group has discussed so far, and if their thinking is, like, when I think of this, so low risk, high value, it would seem our risk policy would help optimize yield. Maybe that speaks to more the council's resources being used for management objectives, but with low risk, may want to be less frequent with assessments, pushing those resources more towards the high risk, high value. And then with a high risk, low value, you know, risk policy again introduces the proper risk tolerance, ABC setting, but then maybe we're setting and forgetting. And I'm just wondering, is that kind of what you've been thinking so far? It's not very creative, but
I think that's exactly where this would be leading to, is once we have these stocks kind of identified within this spectrum, what management tools would best match our objectives, you know, prioritization levels, investment levels. So the tools that you mentioned, Melanie, yes, all of those would be on the table, and how we would maybe try to get creative. I think there's, you know, there's probably a range of options around something that might be low risk, high value, where if we don't need to do assessments all the time, then it is that maybe set it and forget it, or maybe empirical approaches. Maybe we dedicate more of our, you know, analytical assessment resources towards stocks that we really feel need that type of investment. So those would be the tools, and as well as, you know, other creative tools, where do we change the way that our FMPs are organized? Do we want any joint governance? So I think all of these things, we're hopeful that our regional activity can inform kind of a path forward.
Great, thank you. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't heading down left field.
Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, so I think a lot of us docs would be in the middle category in groundfish, right? And how and where we have to have this to catch that, how are we going to balance that? I don't understand how that'll work. And there's a couple other questions I have too, but I don't understand the stock complex that we work on. What do we have, 19 different stocks that we work on, 18, whatever it is? And they're all equally as important to us because we have to have it to go. But yet, you know, I could see a single stock like herring or scallops, it would be much easier to come up with those things. So anyway.
Yeah, thanks for the question. And I think this is one where our current system has sort of made this requirement that they all have some sort of equal investment. But if we take a step back and think about this morning's conversation, Southern Windowpane and Ocean Pout, if we were able to make a case that, you know, those are non-allocated stocks, they're obviously not targeted, one might be a higher risk and with environmental impacts, some of the things within these categories, then we might be able to make a case that these are ecosystem component species, and therefore we can relax the management requirement for an annual catch limit and accountability measure. We can still monitor those stocks. We can still have management measures around those stocks. But that's where I think, Terry, we could recognize that actually these stocks are not as important to put as much investment in as other stocks. And so you don't have to be managing them all with the exact same tool set.
That's a good segue into this, my question then, because in 2013, I think it was 2013, 2014, we were talking about AMs in the southern area for the scallop boats. Fishery Survival Fund did a bunch of work on, you know, making that stock, the southern windowpane flounder, a stock in the ecosystems. And I basically, I brought it up at the council. I basically laughed off the council. So what's changed? That's my question. What has changed since 2013-14 when that happened?
I would say clearly the environment has, and a recognition that there are certain stocks that even in the absence of fishing may not rebuild. And so a recognition that our traditional management tools may not be effective, and it is creating increased regulatory burden on the industry. I think also some of the approach towards this has changed, where this entire kind of impetus behind this was NOAA saying, we can't do more and more and more and more. We actually need to start doing less. And so this is a way to sort of make those hard choices, but in an informed way.
That sounds like a good idea to me. I wanted to find out what had changed. So thank you.
Mr. Pierdnock, then Ms. O'Dell.
No, thank you. I'm struggling with how one would look at stocks that have changed over time. I like the example of halibut, where in Massachusetts waters, for example, there was no lack of halibut in the 80s and 90s recreationally or commercially, and that's changed over time, and it's more of a farther north up in Maine into those areas, as well as cod. I mean, cod in 2010, there was no lack of them, and there was a tremendous fishery recreationally and commercially. But time has gone by. Now, when you do that evaluation with that change, are they going to be at the lower end, even though we're striving to have those stocks come back, and it's not going to have the same weighting because of the change, lack of improvement over time? That's what I'm not clear about.
So I think in the case of cod, without having done the full exercise yet, but I think that one could argue that there's a high risk around climate impacts for all four cod stocks. So that would preclude it from falling into a low part of the matrix. So I don't foresee a result from this iteration of this activity that would suggest that any of the four cod stocks would have a different type of management, ecosystem component, or out of an FMP. Halibut, because there is a targeted fishery for it, there is value to it. It may not rank in the high quadrant, but it's also not going to rank in the low. But I think that this would help us make some decisions around what should our investment level be. And, you know, hearing Ms. Ware's comment that if there is a reduced federal investment, can the state responsibility for it keep up? Those are things we can consider. Are there alternative ways to think about halibut altogether? Like, it's not actually a U.S. stock. It's part of a much, much larger stock. And our both scientific and management approach could be reconsidered, where it requires less resources from council, the regional office of science center, but we still can maintain it as a, you know, robust target fishery.
We'll close out with Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm assuming that the council will be able to weigh in on the evaluation for the matrix of what's low or low high, or that there will be a discussion on our managed stocks now and how we would, you know, what we would move forward in terms of a recommendation for our region, correct? Okay. And then the other quick comment I just wanted to make on the ecosystem component is that we haven't yet, I know there's a lot of work being done and the concept is being floated around, but we haven't fully, we have our IRA project, but we haven't really determined what those stocks will be. We also haven't received clarification on whether an ecosystem component will remove us from accountability measures under Magnuson. So I think we just need to be mindful of that and know that an ecosystem component may not mean that you don't have some, you don't exceed a level and then therefore someone has to pay. I mean, it doesn't remove you from ACL and AM requirements. So I think we just need to be really mindful of that. We had a little discussion about that at our climate and ecosystem committee, and Mitch offered some guidance, but there's not a lot of, we don't have clarity on that. So I just wanted to make that point for ecosystem. We need to identify the stocks and then also make sure we fully aware are aware of what ecosystem component entails. Thanks.
Thank you for that. Mr. Pentney?
I mean, we can look into and confirm this, but my understanding is ecosystem component stocks do not have ACLs and therefore do not have accountability measures. Mid-Atlantic Council has a whole unmanaged forage amendment that has quite a few ecosystem component stocks. There's no ACL, there's no AMs for any of those stocks. So that's, to me, that's one of the selling points for stocks, as long as we have a sort of rigorous, rational basis for moving a stock into an ecosystem component or designating a new stock, as the Mid-Atlantic Council did, as an ecosystem component stock, is that there can be some degree of management without ACLs and AMs. Just as a continue the sort of example, the Mid-Atlantic Council's unmanaged forage amendment sets a overarching possession limit, per trip possession limit, for stocks in that complex. So there is management, and landings can be tracked, and we can look for signals and something changing, new fishery developing, without sort of the ACL-AM construct being associated with that.
Thank you for that. As kind of highlighted what Dr. O'Keefe said, that this is still in the works. Now it sounds like there may be even shifting the goalposts further out on us. So this is kind of be to determine. I'm sure we'll get an update in June after the CCC meeting and then, kind of see where we are at that point.